room. And I also want to greet the overwhelming majority of devotees and friends who listen to the, let me say, recorded lectures which are given by devotees in the Mayapur, during the Mayapur time and in general. I want to greet all of you. I'm totally excited in regards to my subject matter, although the heat brings me a little bit down. We will discuss the question how to come from the material emotions which all of us feel to a platform where we are able to have spiritual emotions. And we will deal with some subjects which are often hold to be taboo in spiritual circles, and we will try to carefully approach these subjects. I'm saying taboo because so often kalpana or imagination of spiritual realizations which give rise to very emotions pull the practitioner from an imagined spiritual plane down on the material plane. That's why in our Hare Krishna movement we have dealt with emotions always a little careful. We sometimes even tried to pretend that there are it's best to ignore emotions at an immature state because they connect us so strongly with the material energy. But emotions are not something which we can ignore. There is a good percentage of devotees who have left the process of Krishna consciousness. And in their goodbye letters, they have always written about emotions, but in a way which makes us think. They have said, I did not feel emotional fulfillment. By the way, the Hare Krishna movement is not alone in this. All movements and processes which set forth to leave the world of illusion and who renounce this world or things of this world have always had this problem that in the process of renouncing this way, the world, or on the way to heavens, something went wrong. Emotions which were maybe of attachment, of lust towards the opposite sex, which were totally ignored, came back in disguise. And in the disguised way, they brought the practitioner to a fall. If you go through Christian literature or even the yogic traditions, you will find many sad stories of people who tried to overcome the material emotions of attachment and so on, but who at the end fell victim to one Menaka, a beautiful girl, which is representative to the, representing the attachment to the material world. I'm very, very excited to give this seminar in Sridhar Mayapur. I'm anyways excited about the subject, but I'm extremely excited in Sridhar Mayapur because we will talk about Chaitanya Bhakti, and we will soon see that Chaitanya Bhakti is so rich with spiritualized emotions. The devotees are seen dancing in abundance, sweating, having sometimes very blissed out expressions in their faces, and calling out Gauranga with faltering voices, as we did on our Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. When you enter Chaitanya Bhakti, you will find rich feasts, and you are told at the entrance of Prasadam, the Prasadam hall, this is not Maya to enjoy. No, it is spiritualized. It will give rise to spiritual emotions. We are even told that in elaborate writings like the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see a list of a menu with most interesting sweets. For instance, there's one sweet which is made from Ganga mud. It's very tasty. How it is made, I would like to know in detail. Cakes which swim in milk and so on. And we are all told this is representative to the world of Rash. Ras means taste, which a practitioner can even experience with his present material senses. So whereas other traditions often feel a need to distance themselves from the emotional world of enjoyments and so on, Chaitanya Bhakti is not afraid of this. Obviously, we hear that the true wealth of a practitioner in Chaitanya Bhakti is also renunciation, but that renunciation is different from the renunciation of the impersonalists. In Krishna consciousness, you accept things even of this world which are bringing you forward on your march to spiritual emotions. So we will discuss how a tradition, the Vaishnav tradition, deals with the subject matter of emotions and how it gradually transforms material emotions into spiritual emotions. This class or seminar will not be very theoretical. It hopes to be a little practical. We will have some exercises. We will go a little bit into some high philosophy as well. And we will, without any fear and shyness, talk about ecstasy. Hare Krishna. So I would like to first of all, awaken you all, awaken your sleeping mind and sleeping senses. You will have to turn to your neighbor and discuss with your neighbor a question which will bring you in touch with your emotions. The question will be unveiled now. The first question is, what was the happiest day in your Krishna conscious life? And please discuss with your neighbor why it was the most happy day. How did you feel on this day? What went on inside of you? And then, and we will give 5 minutes to this question. This means you all have 2.5 minutes to address this point to your neighbor. I know some of you are a little shy to express themselves to an unknown neighbor. No need of shyness. We are in Gauranga's holy dharm. I know that some of you don't like these exercises. No need of dislike or like. You will see something will happen as you discuss this. Talk about real things. Don't talk about things which are not true. try to be honest, but if the honesty makes you ashamed, then just hint at the subject matter so that you don't feel discomfortable. Someone please give me his wristwatch. Probably, please give it. You will certainly get it back. It doesn't matter. So please start now. There is a need to become aware of our emotions and, if possible, to uplift them. When a devotee is not capable of feeling emotions which are connected with Krishna consciousness, his emotions for the spirit, for the material world, will remain with him. They will not go automatically. And as long as we have no emotions for Krishna consciousness, but emotions for the material world, old songs, old habits, acceptance and rejectance of the material world, the material world will always remain much more real to us. I would like to tell you something. When I was yesterday walking to find a nice place for chanting, I met one devotee who taught me this point. Let us call this devotee Dinahamsa. There's a Paramahamsa, the highest swan, and then there's a Dinahamsa, the lowest swan. This devotee came to me with a distressed face and said, "Oh Maharaj, can I speak to you?" And I said, I'm just now looking for a place in solitude, but if you are willing to walk with me, we can talk for 5 minutes. And the devotee, Dinahamsa, said to me, "Maharaj, I feel so much homesick for the West. I'm thinking of German bread and butter." This is what the German organism seems to need. "I'm thinking of all the things I do in the West, and I don't know what to do." I told Dinahamsa, "Well, come to my seminar." But he said, "Maharaj, I know you will try to inspire us in Krishna consciousness, but you know, I feel so strongly for the material world. Even now where it is absence, I feel more strongly for it. And at this moment, I need something else. And I said to him, "Okay, then go to the Ganga. When the sun goes down, it's 4 o'clock. Stand in the Ganga up till your neck and humbly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This might work very quickly with you. Do something where you take help of the Dham, or of Mother Ganga." I don't know, maybe he stands now in Mother Ganga's loving embrace and something happens. But I want to tell you, as long as you have all these material emotions and just ignore them, you don't have any spiritual emotions, Krishna consciousness will be an unreal philosophical concept for you. Because unfortunately or fortunately, we will see this a little later, which one of the two it is, we human beings act more upon how we feel towards a thing than how we understand a thing. At least for a long period of time, we must feel some satisfaction or some sense in what we do, something which uplifts us. If we only do something which we understand is good for us, but we don't feel how it is good for us. We will fall back into the material energy. Now there is a very, very good reason why the spiritualist in the beginning is advised to make a little distance to the world of material likes and not dislikes. Srila Prabhupada talks about this in the purport of the Bhagavad Gita 3:42. He says, a neophyte spiritualist, that's a beginner, is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of the senses. All the things which we had enjoyed and which we had gone deeply into in our lives, we leave it aside. But aside from that, one has to strengthen the mind by use of intelligence. In other words, he says, although it is natural in the beginning to make a distance to the material world, ultimately you will have to rise to a platform where your mind and your emotions is captured. Yes. He says further about spiritual emotions, to cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. When you have not managed to have feelings, spiritual feelings of affection, when you don't have spiritual feelings of anger and hankerings, you don't have a full-fledged life, and you can be sure that on your road you meet your old friend Maya. And she will say something like this. I've taken this from Devamrita Swami, who says it so nice. Now, Krishna Das, I want to ask you a question. Lalita Devi Dasi, I also want to ask you a question. By now in your spiritual life, do you feel spiritual emotions? Are you already in Braj Leela? Are you satisfying this need of the heart to live a full-fledged life? Or are you just renouncing the material energy? Are you just renouncing the senses? Listen, Krishna Das. Listen, Lalita Devi Dasi. You have to live. And living means you have to feel the true life with your heart. You have to have an emotional expression. You have to laugh. You have to cry. You have to hanker. At the moment, are you just controlling your senses? Or are you feeling this in relationship to Krishna? I know Krishna Das and Lalita Devi Dasi. You had your fanatic years, like all these Hare Krishnas. I know you have also seen that most of them have gone back to my world. Krishna Das, Lalita Devi Dasi, I don't want you to be one of those who suffer due to lack of emotional feelings and expressions. I want to discuss with you tomorrow at around 10 o'clock at the pizza location or around it, how you can slowly and happily fulfill your needs for emotions. I don't want you to forget Krishna. I don't want you to stop your spiritual life. Believe me, I am also a servant of Krishna. But I don't want you to live a totally impractical life where you just negate your natural human needs and then at the end suffer shipwreck. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock around the pizza stall. We have another discussion. Goodbye. Think about it. And she's out. Is she right or is she wrong? Is there maybe something else than right and wrong in this world? Think about it. You have to think about it. These seminar will put some questions to you, and you have to be very careful when you hear these questions. Many questions are questions which are meant to make you think. They are not the quick ones, yes and no. They are often have some nuances. I want to ask you now another question. Do you have at all an influence on your emotions? Or are they just coming and going according to some laws which you don't know at the present moment? Can you train your emotions and tell your emotions what to think? For instance, you are on Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. It was a long day. You go to the last stop before you finally get your much belated noon prasadam. It should have been there at 2 o'clock, but by now it's already 5 o'clock. You sit at the long last place. There is one speaker who obviously is also tired, like you are tired, who has not listened to what the other speaker said, so he repeats everything again, only without any fascination. It is extremely boring what he says to you, and you begin to feel, why did I go on Navadvip Mandal Parikrama? Why did I go with these speakers who do not even listen to what the other person says and who are most probably bored and who are very boring? And you feel a grungy feeling. I would like to eat the speaker for my meal. And you go into this. Can you at this moment tell your emotions what to do? Duryodhana had to confront this question. Duryodhana had one time, I told it also in Radhadesh, where he was humiliated by the Pandavas, when he in fact wanted to humiliate them. He had gone with his army to one lake where he knew the Pandavas were out camping in banishment, and he had brought a whole city of enjoyment, a tent city, and wanted to enjoy like anything, beautiful music, beautiful people, and so on. But unfortunately the lake was occupied by the Gandharvas, headed by Shidrasena, and Shidrasena said, "This camping spot is for us. Leave, arrogant king, otherwise you have to confront us in battle." Duryodhana thought, "Oh no, he won't be. I'm a better soldier than him." Attacked Shidrasena and was captured by Shidrasena. Only one messenger escaped and went to the Pandavas and said, Duryodhana lies in iron chains. Bhima said, good. Very good. Yudhishthira said, he is a family member. He is also one of the Kauravas. We have to save him. Said Bhima, really? And Yudhishthira said, yes, go there with Arjuna and liberate him. Arjuna went there, Bhima went there, they gave battle to Shidrasena and his army, they defeated the army, and they released Duryodhana. Go now, Duryodhana. We have given you a new life. Bow down to Yudhishthira in gratefulness. Duryodhana was, to be mildly put, very frustrated. So he went away, and he was ready to fast until death. Karna came and said, Duryodhana, we need you. You have maybe lost one little fight, but not the entire battle. When you fight, sometimes there are losses. Don't become mental now. Take on your position as a king. But Duryodhana cried and said, no, I'm too humiliated. And then that night he thought to himself, I think it is not right for me to go against the Pandavas because Krishna is on their side and takes care that they develop very nicely. I think it's not right. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I'm Duryodhana and I want power and I want might. And at that time, some beings came to him and said, you are an incarnation of Kali, you can make it, you are very strong. Oh, very good, said Duryodhana. You are chosen for a certain plan, said these beings. Go back and become the king. So Duryodhana knew he couldn't win. Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. But his emotions pulled him in a different direction. Isn't this often our case? We know we should chant proper rounds. We know we should not look towards the Matajis, or the Matajis shouldn't look towards the boys. We know so many things. It's enough to become fully Krishna conscious. But our emotions pull us in a totally different directions. Before the pause, I will ask. I will take you on a little crash course. What are emotions? It's a good question, isn't it? I'm in the advantage that I have studied the subject and I do not wish to overload you. When I first asked the question to myself, what are emotions? I was really thinking of, well, something from the mind most properly. Here I can only go a little bit into spiritual psychology with you. Emotions are often described as waves on the surface of the ocean of the mind. You have the mind, which is like an ocean, and you have waves which come and go. In yoga psychology, you know that there are that the emotions are situated in different energy circles of the body. They are called chakras. And the lowest chakra is the need to survival. Sometimes we are in this mode of emotions. We don't care for anything. We just want to eat, please. Do you know this? Or we want to sleep. It's a lowest level It's called the Svadhisthana Chakra. It's the lowest level. A little higher than this is the Manipura Chakra, where the emotions of attraction to the opposite sex are residing. And sometimes we feel quite emotional on this level as human beings. A little higher than this, it's about here, is the chakra which is responsible for feelings of friendship, of social development, and so on. It's a level where many of the devotees who have seen that our ISKCON society was often thinking of such a high philosophy, but the relationships were very insecure. The many ISKCON speakers now talk about the need of this area. We must make relationships. Societies form on this, democratic societies and their theories. A little higher than that is the Anahata Chakra, which means here are emotions of compassion, of genuine love and attraction for someone. And still higher than this come the chakras which are very favorable for spiritual development. You think of God, for instance, on the highest level. And it seems we are often traveling through these different levels. You can, if you don't wish to be so mystical, you can also call them different levels of existence. They respond to the subtle body and the different koshas. Anamaya, I want to eat. Pranamaya, I need to do things. Jnanamaya, I need to know. You know, these needs, emotional needs, are there, and we are often traveling from one to the other. Now, this is very important about studying emotions. If you supply a certain environment for your mind, you will most properly see how your emotions begin to change. It is said in the Rasa Shastras, and Rasa Shastras is now, on a poetic level, that on the poison tree of this world, there are two nectarian fruits. And as you study these fruits, you will soon understand how these fruits, when you take them, supply an environment where your emotions begin to change. Listen to these two fruits. It's good literature or poesy. In the West, we have also music to accompany the poesy. Also in the East, we have. I'm looking at one of my audience who likes to hear heavy metal, loud emotional expression, very poetic. I want to eat something now, or whatever the song is. Or a little bit more refined poesy. You give your love so sweetly. You belong to me completely. But will you still stay with me tomorrow? Poesy. It gives a certain, as we hear it, I'm discussing it on the mundane platform, huh? I'm not yet in Krishna consciousness. We are first discussing emotions. We feel through poesy and literature and music, certain emotions change because we have given them an environment in which they respond. The second thing which grows on this world, which changes our emotions, is association, and this is human association. Now these two things are also there in our bhakti tradition. Good literature and good association. You remember from Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was one Brahmana. He had the order to read the Bhagavad Gita, but he did not know Sanskrit very well. However, he every day associated with the Bhagavad Gita, following the order of his spiritual master, and he had tears in his eyes. He was moved. People laughed about him because they couldn't understand. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the ornaments of tears in this Brahmana's eyes, he came to him and said, "My dear Brahmana, you don't know how to read, but you have tears in your eyes." A Brahmana said, I'm studying every day the Bhagavad Gita, and as I'm doing this, I see before me a picture of Lord Krishna driving the chariot of his good friend Arjuna. And this gives ecstasy to me. So this can happen if you enter, and I want to talk now, good literature, and for us as devotees, spiritual literature. It can awaken your spiritual feelings of appreciation. Who of you has read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, part 1 and part 2? Did you feel some satisfaction reading this? Why could you feel some satisfaction reading this? It's a good question. We will park the question a little bit. The next point is association with devotees. Have you noticed that sometimes you are a little down in spiritual life and then you have a good first-class association with the devotee and you feel how something which the devotee has in his heart comes into your heart? Have you seen this? That's why we want association with devotees. Why are we changed in the association of devotees? This question, why literature and association can change us, is dealt with and puts a very nice basis to our reading and associating with devotees. The fan has also association with all of you, but he does not change. These are GBC fans. They have heard many things which will never be leave the confidentiality of this room. But the fans are always turning around, doing their duty. They don't have an active part in the preaching mission except for an automatic cooling of the Vaishnava bodies and so on. The fan cannot identify with the subject matter. That's why he remains the way he is. When you read and you cannot identify with the subject matter, at this moment you will not feel anything from the reading. When you discuss devotional subjects with devotees, but you don't make the bridge to yourself, you might even criticize the devotee. This is expressed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says, once there was an actor who played Dasharath's role in the Ramayana. And when he came to the part where he said, "Oh Rama, why do you go to the forest?" he died on the stage. He felt so much identification with the subject matter that he died. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes another point. There was once a recital of Ramayana, and while the recital went on, one of the members of the audience jumped up and jumped around like Hanuman. Usually this is considered to be a disturbance. Imagine Sarashiva would now jump on the table and say, "Go, Ranga," and jump into the crowd. He would say, "Later, later." Not just now. Identification needs to be there. Some bridge between you, your emotions, and what is going on. Prabhupada once commented like this on the Ratha Yatra festival. He said, though this is a very feeling festival, those who are advanced devotees can appreciate. Why is it feeling? Well, the Brajbasis have not seen Krishna for 50 years. He's in Kurukshetra. The Brajbasis have decorated Vrindavan for Krishna's return. And now they see him dressed as a king. And they asked him, "Will you come back?" And he says, I have to kill a few more demons. And I can't do this in Vrindavan because Vrindavan is not equipped for modern warfare or for any warfare. I will come after some time." And the Brajbasis feel he might never come. He has said this already in the letter which he sent through Uddhava. Now we will only take Krishna with his chariot and pull him back to Vrindavan. This is a very feeling festival. And once you go into this understanding of the subject matter and you feel some identification that this is the reality, spiritual reality, you will find how good literature and good association awakens some emotions in you. At the moment, and this will be my last point before the pause, I think I said it already. At the moment, my dear devotees, we are unfortunately often divided. There is our old material sanskaras, our old habits, thought patterns, old emotions, which pull us to the material dimension. And there is a little bud-like feeling that, oh, Krishna is wonderful. Oh, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is wonderful. And this moves us into another direction. But because both of these two things are there, we often feel divided. And this is a painful experience which can give rise to many problems. Sometimes we act like this, and then, whoops, our attachments come, and all of a sudden we approach the internet and we don't know on which page we land. Divided souls. A little while ago, I talked to a doctor who is very much known for iris diagnosis. How do you call this? Iris? Iris, it's part of the human pupil. What is the word? Pupil? Pupil. Huh? They look into this iris and they can diagnose diseases and mental states. And the doctor came to me one day. He had investigated many Hare Krishna devotees, and he came to me and asked the question, "I have looked into the eyes of many devotees and always seen a flickering in the eyes, which means they are insecure about what they do, insecure in their lives. Why is this so?" I did not want to ask them, "You are an ancient spiritual tradition, but I have divided personalities under my microscope. What is there? What is going wrong? And I basically copied one letter which Prabhupada wrote. It appears in The Science of Self-Realization, where he says that those who want to make a distance from Maya may do this a little vehemently in the beginning. They may not have full realization, and in order to protect themselves, they... As they say in the monk tradition, brothers, look down, because around the corner a woman comes. What this means is, there is a divided soul. He wants chastity, but he feels the power of attraction working on him. And this, I want to say, is maybe alright in the beginning states, but we have to bring our emotions to a point where we feel great attachment for spiritual life and great happiness in spiritual life, so that we are no longer divided. And I want to talk in the next part of my seminar about how the divided soul can become whole. Then tomorrow I will talk about favorable emotions which a devotee in Krishna consciousness can cultivate even now. And in my last seminar, that is the day after tomorrow, you will hear something about chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with feeling. Hare Krishna. So now you will have a pause. The pause is a longer pause. It lasts 20 minutes, and it will go or something like this, 25 minutes before 6. Yes, according to this watch, we all have our individual watches. This watch is the most individual. It says 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. So 25 minutes to 6 here. This pause is also an anti-mosquito pause for you, those of you who need to smear mosquito ointment on their sacred feet and so on. It is an active pause. You might like to walk around, discuss with other devotees, go outside, look at Mayapur Dham, think deeply about what you have heard, and be ready for the next session, which is a little educational. I will talk Chaitanya Leela, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. You are a very encouraging audience. I hope I reach you spiritually with the subject, and please be back in 20 minutes. Hare Krishna.